Okay, says the Gemara now, on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, we are at the word Mimai. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do I know that our diuk from the Chachamim is correct? I mean, what did the Chachamim say? Ein Shmoyin Lo Al Avadim Lo Al Karkos. You do not swear not on Avadim nor on Karkos. So what did we say? We made a diuk of the Chachamim say you don't swear on Karkos or Avadim. Must be that a mayor holds that you do swear. So says the Gemara, Mimai, how do I know that you could be medayik that from what the Chachamim say? Dilma, Kishem Ka'amrule. Maybe the Chachamim were saying to Rabbi Meir, Kishem, meaning, Kihechi da'odislan bekarkaos, just like you agreed to us that you don't swear on karkaos, meaning they take it for granted that Rabbi Meir agrees that you don't swear about karkaos, and the Chachamim were saying, Odilanami ba'avadim, we would love it if you would agree to us also that what? That you don't swear on Avadim. And it would turn out that Rav Meir also holds that you don't swear on Karkos. And the whole machlokes, the whole discussion is, do you swear on Avadim? But Rav Meir would, maybe Rav Meir really agrees that you don't swear on Karka. The whole thing that the Chum were saying was, you already agree halfway. You already agree that you don't swear on Karka. So just meet us the rest of the way. Now, you know, just come along the rest of the journey. Tell us that you don't swear on Avadim either. So Gemara brings a proof that that's got to be the case. That what's got to be the case? Again, what are we trying to prove? That Rav Meir holds, I'll start you off, that Rav Meir holds that you don't swear on Karka. Right? Teda. I'll bring you a proof that a mayor holds you don't swear on karka. Ditnan. There is a Mishnah in Mesechah Shavuos Daf Mem Beis. There's a lot of crossover between Shavuos and Bava Metzia. The year that the yeshiva did Shavuos, Rabbi Willig did Bava Metzia for 3/4 of the year. Right? There's a lot of crossover between Shavuos and Bava Metzia. So it says in Shavuos, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Dvarim Shehein Kekarka, Ve'enan Kekarka. There are certain things that are like karka in the sense that they're actually attached to the ground, but they don't have the halachos of karka. Ve'in chacham modinlo, and the chachamim do not agree with Rav Meir. They hold that anything that is attached to the ground automatically has a halacha of karka. So this is speaking very up in the air, right? So Ketzad, what are you talking about? What are you arguing about? Says the Gemara. One guy says to another, Eser gefanim tu'unos masarti lecha. I asked you to watch for me, to guard for me, 10 vines that were laden with grapes. So 10 grapes. But the fact is that, very important point, there were actual grapes on the vines at the time, right? So 10 vines laden with grapes. Va'ala Omer, the guy, the supposed Shomer says, Einon el chamesh. I agree, you asked me to watch your grapevines, but you're exaggerating what you have. You know, you asked me to watch 5 grapevines, not 10 grapevines. So what does that sound like? Mitzvahs, but it's about karka. It's about that which is mechubar lekarka. So Rabbi Meir mechayev. Rabbi Meir says yechayev shvus modem mitzvahs. Why? Because we treat the grapes like metaltalin. Ah, they're attached to the ground, but come on, they're grapes. So we treat it like metaltalin. Even though it's attached to the ground, we could treat it like metaltalin. The Chum say kol hamechubar lekarka reu kekarka. That anything that's attached to the ground has all of the halachos of ground, and therefore, even if your mother mixes us, there is no shavua. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, brachanina, anavim ha'omdos li'batzer ikibinayu. The whole machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is not just stam grapevines that have some grapes. There's grapes that are omdim li'batzer. You know what omdim li'batzer means? They're ready to be picked. They're fully ripened. All you need to do is pick them off the ground. So is that more like karka or less like karka than unripened grapes? It's less like karka, right? More like metaltalin, because it could be off the vine. It just happens to still be on the vine because you were too lazy to pick them off so far. But it could be off the vine. That's the whole machlokas. The Mar Sava, Rabbi Meir holds, kivitsuros damyan, that which is ready to be picked is as if it's already picked, and therefore it's metaltalin. And that's where Rabbi Meir says, if you're modib mitzvahs on those grapes, you're chayiv shvus modib mitzvahs. Umar sever lav kubtzuras damyan. And the Chum say, no, it's actually physically attached to the ground. As long as it's physically attached to the ground, it has a din of karka. So it turns out, even according to Rabbi Meir, what if those grapes were not ripened? What would Rabbi Meir say? You don't swear. Why? Because it's karka. Ah, so what have we proven from there? Rabbi Meir also agrees that you don't swear on karka. The only reason Rabbi Meir thinks you swear on grapes that are hanging from the vine is because they're no longer like karka. They're ready to be picked. So says the Gemara, because of this kasha, we have to go back to explain the Mishnah aligned with Rav Hoshaya that we discussed yesterday, and just answer the kashas that we asked on him. So what was that about? Eliolim Kedravi Hoshaya. Our Mishnah must be assuming like Rav Hoshaya explained it. What was that? That we're talking about that the buyer is claiming that he had purchased a large eved plus clothing of the large eved. Large eved with his clothing. I don't want no naked avadim. I bought a large clothed eved. Or I bought a large field with its bundles, right? And the seller says, I sold you a small eved with his clothing, or a small field with its bundles of wheat in the field. So the mocher is chayiv eshvus moda b'miktsas on the clothing and on the bundles. Why the clothing and the bundles? That's metaltlin, exactly. And once he's taking a shvua anyway on the clothing, he's also going to take a shvua on the eved slash karka, right? Depending on which case. Udekashalach, oh, but we asked the kasha on that. Zokikin. What was the kash of Zokikin? The big chiddush of the Mishnah is that there's such a thing called Zokikin. We already know the din of Zokikin from a Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin Daf Chavav. Your big chiddush is that just because you're swearing already on Metaltalin, we could be Megalgel you a Shavua on Karka. That's the big, I mean, the way Rabbi Hoshaya understands the Mishnah, that's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. But I don't need Bav Metzia for that. I could learn that in Maseches Kiddushin. So says Gemara, Itzterich. No, I need Bab Metzia also. I need two Mishnayos to tell me this din of Zokikin. Because Salka Daita Chamina, Ksus Eved Ke'eved Domi. I might have thought that a man's clothing is like part of the man. Clothing make the man. The clothing of the Eved is considered part of the Eved. And therefore there is no what over here. There's no Zokin because there's no Metaltalin. Everything is Eved or Karka. Omre Sada Kesada Dami, that the bundles in the field are like part of the field itself. Ah, Kamashmala, that's why I need our Mishnah. So you're right, from the Mishnah in Kiddushin I know, from the Mishnah in Kiddushin, we'll make this main point, from the Mishnah in Kiddushin I know the din of Zokikin. From our Mishnah I know that Zokikin even applies when you're talking about an Eved with the clothing and a field with its bundles. Right, that's what our Mishnah adds. That Zokin even applies by an Eved with the clothing. Why would you think it doesn't apply by an Eved with the clothing?
Wait,
yeah, that it even applies by an Eved with the clothing. Because I would think that the clothing is part of the Eved. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Okay, period. Now the Gemara goes back to explain a Braisa that we mentioned before. The Braisa had said, Machlif para b'chamor. What happened? You switched a cow for a donkey. What are you right next to? What are you, the buyer and the seller, are standing with which animal? The chamor, right? Because the parah is the one that gives birth. And the whole thing is you don't know when it gave birth. If you were standing with it, you would know when it gave birth, right? So machlif parah v'chamor. Then the parah gave birth, but you don't know at what point the parah gave birth. Ze omer eini yodea. The Braisa said, if one of them says, I have no idea when, v'ze omer eini yodea, and the other guy says, I also am not a prophet, I also have no idea when, we were not FaceTiming the cow at the time of the transaction, so we do not know what is, you know, when it gave birth, and therefore we do not know who it belongs to, yachloku. So Hamani, who's the author of that? Who says, we know Simchas. Hamani Sumchasi, Damar Mamnuzal B'Savi Cholkin. It's always Sumchas. Whenever it's Cholkin, it's always Sumchas. Sumchas is the Cholkin man. So I asked the Gemara, can that Braisa really be assuming like Sumchas? Look at what the next line of that Braisa says. Ema Seifa, the next line of the Braisa says, Ze Omer Birushusi, Ze Omer Birushusi. What's that case? They both have a Tainas Pari. They're both sure. They both claim to be prophets. And we both know for sure, or, you know, they did a medical exam on the baby. Oh, this is a very mature baby. He must have been out for a long time. The other one says, no, look, his fingernails aren't grown. He hasn't been, the cows have fingernails. I don't know. But, you know, this obviously was just recently born. Each one is sure. They're sure they know the age of the baby. So Yishava HaMocher Shabar Shuso Yalda, the mocher just has to swear that it was born while it was in his property, while it was in his, while he still owned the cow, and then he could take the baby. But if Sumchus holds Cholkin always, even in the case of Bari Ubari, Why would the mocher swear? What should the halacha be if the brisa was really authored by Simchus? Yachlokus. So one second before you ask questions, just to get clear what happened over here, we try to say that since the brisa says when they both say Shema, right? They both say in Yodea, that it's Yachloku, so it must be Simchus. But the very next line of the brisa tells us that when they both say Bari, when they both say Bari, the brisa says, not Yachloku, Yishava Mocher. But if Sumchus holds Yachloku even by Bari Ubari, which is a machlokas, whether Sumchus holds Yachloku even by Bari Ubari, but if Sumchus holds Yachloku even by Bari Ubari, then this brisa can't be Sumchus. Yeah?
Sumchus also says, Moman Amoto Besavi Chokin below Shua, so that in itself would be a question on what they're saying. That they're
the same thing, it's the same question, though, meaning right. Chokin as opposed to a Shavua.
No, you're right, but they're right. The Bari Ubari is a Shavua.
Yeah. So the Gemara answers, Moda Sumchus Hechad Dika Shvudo Raisa. You know, over here, the nitva, the one who has the claim against him, has a chiv shua min haTorah. And Sumchus doesn't say, Momen al tibul savi cholkim, when there's a chiv shua min haTorah. The Sefer of the Brice is talking about that the guy who bought it is saying, you owe me the shivcha and the vlad, the cow and the... And the mocher says, no, I only owe you the shivcha, not the vlad. So he's modu b'miksas, he's chayv shua min haTorah. And that's why he's nishba and he's notel the vlad. So the Gemara says, and even though the mocher admits and says, even though a mocher who says heilach, right, is pater from shvos modem mitzvos, de katal liyada kidarava. This is not a case of heilach, because what happened?
He didn't pay.
He chopped off the shivcha's hand, so it's not heilach. So normally, you tell me, are you a shivcha and a baby, right? And I'm willing to admit that I owe you the shivcha, but it's not halach, because I can't give you the shivcha, because the shivcha that I owe you is a shivcha with two hands. And I got angry last night and I decided to chop off one of her hands. Or I needed a hand. And I decided to chop off her. So now I can't give you the shivcha. So because of that, it's not a case of halach.
That we just hold
Halach
is
Chayiv, but it's a machlokas. We know that we don't just hold that it's a machlokas. But the Gemara doesn't want to come to that conclusion. So this is the machlokas about Halach. Meaning more pashut. What's the more pashut approach? That Halach would be Chayiv Ishvor, that Halach would be Pater from Ishvor.
He'd be potter from Shavuot. Because if we're going to say it's Chayv and Shavuot, we'd be like, Yeshkoi, that's Moda
B'Mixas. Right, that should be more Pashut, right? That it's Moda B'Mixas. Meaning it seems like it's Moda B'Mixas. Yeah. It's hard to explain why it's not Moda B'Mixas. You have to say all these Torahs to explain why it's not Moda
B'Mixas. You have to connect it back to the first mission on the Sefer also. How can you make someone Chayv
and Shavuot?
It's the same,
well, that's Rebbe Shiva's Raisi, yeah. That's
how can you make someone Chayv and Shavuot?
How can you make someone... There are cases where there are shvus midrabanan. Shvus d'araisa are three of them, and then there are other shvus midrabanan. Yeah, you all know. Okay, good. So let's just see the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to discuss other cases where a seller and a buyer disagree about something. Hamocher zeisav le'etzim. Person sells his olive trees for the wood. The buyer is supposed to use the wood of the tree for firewood or whatever, and the buyer didn't immediately cut them down. He was supposed to, you know, he bought the trees for the wood. He was supposed to immediately cut them down. He didn't. And va'asu pachus mirvius l'sa. So while he left them up, what happens to olive trees that are still planted? They tend to grow olives. So there grew less than a revius for each sa. Meaning, if you were to squeeze a sa of olives from those trees, you'd get a very minimal amount of oil, less than a revius of oil. Hare elu shel bal hazesim. Those olives belong to the buyer, who is considered the owner of the trees. But asu revius sa, if it produced a decent amount of oil, ze omer ze si gidlo. Now, how did those olives grow? From a combination of these olive trees that are owned by the buyer,
and
the soil which is owned by the seller. So each one says, it was my thing that made those olives grow. Yachloku. Then you split it. Shataf nahar zesav. Let's say a river came and flooded out the olive trees. Unasana matoch stei chavera. Imagine that. it actually uprooted the olive trees, jumped them onto a different property, and planted it right down on the other property. Ze Omer, so the owner of the olive trees, this is not about a buyer and a seller, this is just Stam. You have a nice olive tree in your backyard, some ridiculous hurricane comes, lifts up your olive tree, plants it in your neighbor's yard. We had in North Woodmere last year, there was a storm, someone's trampoline went busted through his fence, flipped over three properties, and landed in someone else's yard, right, straight up. So, how do we know they didn't steal it, and that's what happened? Because someone across the street has the Ring, that takes the Ring doorbell, and it took a video of the whole thing, so that we saw a video during the storm of the whole thing.
Also, if you're going to steal it, putting it in your front yard.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. And if you're going to steal a trampoline, it's not a good thing to steal. So anyway, so what happens? Shadav Narzeh, so if your olive trees are uprooted, the sonim tovstei chavero, and they land in someone else's property, and then they start growing olives. Ze omer ze sigidlo. This guy says, well, it's my tree that's growing the olives. Ze omer arzigidlo. Well, it's my land that's providing nutrients for your tree to grow the olives. So what do you do? Yachloku, they split the olives. Let's go a little bit further. Let's just finish the Amud here. So the Mishnah said that if you sell your trees the olive trees for the sake of the wood, and then they produce very little oil, who gets that very little oil?
The guy who bought it.
Right. So hey Chidami, well, what exactly is the case? If the seller said, look, I'm selling you these trees, cut them down immediately, I don't want your trees on my property. Then whatever they produce should belong to the owner of the karka, because you have no business leaving your trees in his karka. He told you, I'm selling them to you so you can cut them and get them out, and you didn't. So he should be the owner. And if the seller said, I'm laid back, whatever you want, kalemas to buy his coats, whenever you feel like it, you can come cut them down. Otherwise, leave them there as long as you want. Then even if it grew a lot of olives and it produced a lot of oil, the owner of the tree should get it because he had the right to leave them there. So what's the case of the Mishnah where it depends, where when you ask the question, who gets the olives, the answer is going to be, depends how many olives there are, or how much oil it produces. Depending what the deal is, it should either be obviously all belong to the guy who bought it, or obviously all belong to the guy who sold it. Says Mirilotzricha. Now the case is Da'amar Le'Stama. You weren't explicit about when you expected him to take the trees out of your property. You just didn't say. So then, Pachos Mirvius Lo Kapti Inchi, Revius Kapti Inchi. We assume that if it's a tiny amount, the seller doesn't care. So he'll let you just take it. You bought them, take the tiny amount of olives as well. But once it starts producing a revius for each sa'a, so then we're talking about real money. Then he's going to be makfit about it, and he's going to want it. Amr Abishim ben Pazi, revius sha'amru, when our Mishnah says a revius, chutz min ha'otza'a, it means once you subtract the cost that it takes to press the olives and produce the olives, to do everything that it needs in order to end up with the olive oil. There are overhead costs that it takes. So the revius for each sa'ah means the revius of profit for each sa'ah. That's what ultimately it means. We're going to stop there. Just a